Welcome to the Laugh Factory Live podcast with Ian Ellis and Kimberly Marion. This week we are joined by Sam Norton, Joe DeGann, and Jonathan Giles. In this episode we talk a lot about comedy, goals, and dreams. Sam Norton has just started doing a new comic strip that you can check out on his Facebook. So please head over to Facebook, search Sam Norton, and check out his new comic strip. You can follow me on Twitter at Chicago Open Mic. You can follow KB on Twitter at K Marion Comedy. And you can follow the Laugh Factory Chicago at LaughFactory_CH. All right. Peace.
Welcome to the Laugh Factory Live podcast hosted by Ian Ellis and
KB Marion.
Kimberly Marion. Today, our very special guests include
Joe DeGann,
Jonathan Giles,
Sam Norton.
We're here, finally, back in the Laugh Factory offices. We've been doing it in bars because that was the most convenient, because comedians don't like to show up to places on time. But Sam, you know, I haven't seen you in a few years, and...
Has it really been a few years?
I think it's been years, man.
Damn, dude. And at the good time, to see you!
When I started, you were, like, one of the people that was already kind of working a little bit, and then, like, you were on the road the last time I saw you, and now you're finally living the dream of, like, not a day job.
Well, last time you saw me, I was still not working a day job.
Son of a bitch.
I've been full-time for 2.5 years now. Almost three years.
So what do you mean by full-time? Like how?
Not having a day job. Getting able to pay bills.
Does that mean
eat.
Living in the car, living in the shelter?
Yeah, it was for a while. It's on food stamps and stuff like that. But luckily I got married to a doctor, and so now I'm not working to eat. So
well,
makes things much
dreams.
Easier. Yeah.
We're going to call this episode Two Dreams.
Yeah, I'm living the dream. Comedy and the best marriage ever. So.
Oh, Sammy Two Dreams.
Yeah, that made it way easier.
I'm glad I'm not the only married person in the room right now. That's a plus as well.
Well, do you guys want to talk about how marriage affected going out or not going out or how your spouses feel about comedy?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I'll say this right now. Like, if you don't have a spouse, I've said it a lot before, I think. Like, if you... have a spouse that's not down with this as your lifestyle choice, you just gotta get rid of that person.
Yeah, I look at it's really easy. Like polyamorism. Like, you have to kind of be like, hey, I got a side piece, so you're gonna have to deal with that.
You said lifestyle choice, like, you know, we're making a choice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, honestly, if it's something that you're pursuing, especially when you start paying your bills with it, you have to have a person that's like, well, as long as you can cover the bills sometimes, too. Especially when you're first starting, like that's
yeah. I don't see how people get into a relationship, whatever they're like open micers. That's crazy. Like if you got a person that'll hang around with you when you're open micing, that's something you gotta keep.
Moment, but it's
yeah.
Lowest material.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're, when a punchline was nowhere near a sight. They stood by your side.
I'm a real hunk of shit, and I get paychecks. I can't imagine the worse than this. So
are you doing writing gigs, or are you just doing, like, road work and clubs?
Yeah, just road work and clubs.
I want to know, how did you build the roster or relationships with the clubs that you're working at today?
Hustle. Just like peddling vacuum cleaners or crack.
Was it like you're sending videos, or you're just going out, visiting a town, meeting everybody?
Those are two separate things.
Some people got both.
The game,
the game is still the game. Yo, I got these.
Both of you
got
look
these
like
dices.
French art thieves. Are you guys in Ocean's 13?
I'm replacing Bernie.
No, I'm just a transformer. I don't know. I built the roster after like hustling, calling, driving out to places, working for no money. I mean, it's the same thing that you've heard from thousands of other comics. The only real difference, though, with me is that I've never gotten anything off of merit. It's all been because I got friends. Mm. So my career is only happens because I surround myself with good people. So anytime I've ever gotten into a club or gotten anything good, it's always been someone going like, hey, he's good people.
Yeah.
Now I've gotten booked back because of merit, but I've never initially got something because someone was like, we got to have another white, straight male. We got to do it. It's never happened.
With old parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people underestimate how important the hang is.
I'm terrible at hanging out. I'm just genuinely nice to. Like, that's honestly.
He's obnoxiously nice.
I just like comics. I hate real people. I really do. They're boring shit.
Yeah.
That's everyone. Like, I have the same problem. I think as if you are an observational type person, like, to where you point out things that are wrong, that are going on, especially if your comedy's that way, like a political comic or anything like that, like, you have to surround yourself with people that are going to back you up every step of the way, and or just not just back you up, but, like, be there and go, yeah, that's the night.
Like,
that's what happens.
People send me emoticons. You're not down with me. You poke me on Facebook once in a while, then we're friends. Otherwise, you're not supportive enough.
Yeah, no, you don't need to worry about those people. They fall to the wayside, and then you end up surrounding yourself with people that are doing what you should be doing.
Well, that, I think it's that comedy. Naturally happens. I don't think you have to go out of your way for that.
I did.
If you spend 90% of your nights in a bar, then you're going to be around other hunks of shit. My main thing is, like, I don't like being judged. I don't like being told what to do. Mm. And that's comics. Comics will judge you, but it's never a real judgment. It's always fake. It's like tissue paper. It's like, oh, that guy's not funny. And then the second that you're funny, everybody's like, oh, all right, he's good.
Yeah.
It's all fleeting bullshit. But,
yeah.
Like, genuinely nice, non-judgmental. Everybody's just like, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
John, I don't know you as well, so.
Yeah.
Like, how far along in the game are you? Give me a little bit of background.
Been doing it about 3 years.
All right.
From Atlanta, Georgia.
What?
Moved up here.
We call it Hotlining around here. I don't know.
I don't know if you know Landry, but he's in town.
Landry.
Comedian Landry from Atlanta?
I don't know Comedian Landry.
All right, well, you should. Hey, check out Comedian Landry at Rosemont in St. Charles this weekend.
Yeah, I think he just pulled your ATL card.
He did. I don't know Comedian Landry. No one really says Hotlanta, though, except for rappers.
He called you
people
Fanta.
Trying to sell their mixtape. So people from Atlanta, we don't call
he
it
does
that.
Have a mixtape.
Yeah, we're not in 2005 anymore, though.
Or in the back of a roller skating rink.
Yeah, right.
Where, like, that,
No.
Side note, T.I., you were way too old for that movie that he did about.
No, T.I. was great in ATL.
But he was great in ATL, but he was too damn old.
Calling out Trump in his very emotional. Yeah. Fuck you and anybody that rides with you. None of my fans will vote for you.
I just want T.I.'s fans to go vote. That's all I want.
Yeah, he's dropped off. He's had a very, like, DMX type.
Yeah, if you got a show on VH1 with your family, you know.
I think that's what ruined it.
Yeah, you know.
He's changing markets.
You either get busted with guns in your car or you have a VH1.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
it's like,
the same
thing
get it.
Your career.
Yeah.
One or the other. What were you were
saying?
Nah,
I mean,
ATL.
ATL, now let's come up here. What else do you want to know? Just, I was downstairs.
What was the impetus for you to start?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What got you started?
You know what? I've did some improv in the past.
I thought you shook your head like it's a dirty confession.
You know, a lot of people,
I did some improv.
Yeah, a lot of people shit on improv, but, you know, people who put time into it, good for them. You know, I think it's an art just like everything else. For me personally, I think I always had an outsider's interest in stand-up. I have a few friends who were doing it. I actually, when I got out of school, I sort of, like a lot of people, got blindsided, chasing job stuff, corporate stuff. You know, kind of thought I was supposed to be climbing some corporate ladder like they tell you you're supposed to do. And
what fancy college degree did you?
Oh, a communications degree.
There it is. There it is.
Moved to D.C.
And I didn't move to D.C. Yeah, I moved to Daytona Beach, Florida, the place where people go to die.
You know what I need in my life? Alligators.
Yeah, more alligators.
Isn't there titties there? Like
there's a couple.
Once a year for 7 days.
Oh, man, bike week is
6 days,
ridiculous.
7 nights.
Biketoberfest is amazing.
Are you a biker? You look like every guy that's got one of those big bikes that's almost a car.
Yeah.
No, he has a scooter.
Up in the radio.
Yeah, I'm
like,
not
wow,
that dude.
Nice neon.
Guys, leave his Vespa alone.
No, man. I had a PT Cruiser. It was dope.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I just eventually made my way to an open mic, and I was like, this is horrible. I can do this. And my first time on stage, walked off stage with that. You know, you hear a lot of people say it, that adrenaline was pumping. Had a decent set as far as your first set goes. Now that I think about it, it was probably shit. But
Hollywood's calling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
They can wait. Hollywood can wait. But ever since then, man, just been here in Chicago, like, meeting people like Sam and
being inspired by me.
Yeah, Sam is a huge inspiration of what not to do.
And what to wear. And what to wear.
There you go. But no, this is good, yeah.
Sam, what's your worst road gig, man? The worst story, or at least the memorable.
You can look it up on my Facebook. For all of you, go to either isam.comedy.com or Facebook, Sam Norton. But there's a picture, so because I knew nobody was going to believe it, it was the last gig I did before I moved to Chicago from Kansas City. I was in Mexico, Missouri, and I was getting paid. The dude brought me there, a good friend of mine, but a real piece of trash. His name's Dustin. And he was headlining.
Yeah, you can't trust somebody named Dustin.
Yeah. Dustin Kaufman. And, call him out. He's very funny, but for doing this. So I drove there, and I needed a computer because I didn't have a computer. So he was like, I got one, and if you drive, I'll pay you in this computer. So like, all right. By the way, before I do the rest of the story, the computer didn't work. It had four viruses.
The offer of payment was the computer.
I didn't have a computer, so if I was moving,
do you remember
I didn't
what kind
go,
of computer it was?
It was just a desktop, like a Dell.
Okay. So you got essentially $300.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, it didn't work, so I sold it for $50 on Craigslist. So I got 50. I mean,
you did it for $50.
$50, yeah. That I had to work to sell it.
Yep.
So that's
fine. Yep.
Are there people out there that are like, dude, I did it for a bed frame?
Yeah.
On the floor.
I did it for a caravan.
I'm going to just pull stuff off of Craigslist and use it to book comics.
I mean, to be fair, I've done it more times than not just for drink tickets.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
A computer.
We've all been there.
Yeah. You can't really sell drink tickets. Anyway, so I'm supposed to do 30 minutes. It's just a two-person show. We get there. It's at this, like, roadhouse out in the middle of nowhere. And there's maybe 12 people there. And it's a decent-sized joint. We start a half hour late, and they find me like, you know what, just go up there. So I'm up on stage for about 15 minutes when, I swear to God, you look, there's a picture of it. All of a sudden, a guy rides in on a horse. And like the horse.
And on the horse.
On the horse. He had to duck his head under the thing and he rode in and the horse is doing the like lift hoof.
Yeah.
Was it the Trojan Man?
This is like a medieval times well trained horse.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, he was like a cowboy, but he was like, look at my stallion. Right? So he trots the length of the bar. Up and back, and when he goes out of the door in unison, all but two people, including the bar staff, get up and follow him outside. I'm sitting there with two people, my friend Dustin and me on stage, and my friend Dustin was so he's a comic, so he's so like anxiety ridden. He was like, "You gotta do your time if you're gonna get." And I was like maybe 3 years in, so I'm like, "Okay." So I do 15 minutes to two people and bring him up. And by the time he comes up, everybody came back in.
Was that 15 minutes of how do I follow a horse?
Yeah, I mean, how many times can you say so? A horse walks into a bar and everybody leaves. And so yeah, and apparently what happened is the guy was hitting on the. Waitress, and she was like, "Oh, I love horses. You have a horse here?" He's like, "Yeah, let me go get it."
Horse
and brought his fucking horse in,
yep.
And then trotted it around, and I was like, "All right." So
no, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
No, the fuck, he didn't.
I bet you at that roadhouse he did.
I bet he got laid. Yeah, for sure.
Was there chicken wire around this stage by any chance?
No.
No. No.
But did you kill those two people, though? Like, was that...
Oh, man, I'm murdered.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying.
They started my fan club.
That's what's up.
they made that Yeah, up. I know he got laid because having a horse nowadays definitely means you're rich. So he was, like, a really rich guy. Because
he was like, hey, hold my horse while I go fuck
yeah,
this
guy. Yeah, he's got a horse.
I'm the horse.
He fucked In order to have horse. A horse, you got to have property. In order to have property... Mm. Feed and all that stuff.
I could disprove this absolutely with my entire family.
Imagine
we have a horse and property, and we are broke as fuck.
It's no, there's different types of yeah. Go
yeah,
ahead.
You're broke, but you're not poor.
Yeah,
you got assets.
You got horses.
No, to Wichita. I'll show you a lot of trailer parks, but they don't got either.
For the color people in the room, there's a word for that.
You're a young lady stumbling out of a bar.
You should probably say
that. I should
say that. Says
to you, go ahead and.
I would.
Wait, hold up. I would. Go ahead. What do you need to say?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
No, it's called nigger rich.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You got property, but.
The fact that you got property is like.
I'm not saying your family was saying
that. That was like. Having the lights turned out, but then still having like chains and shit.
Yeah, so I'm using a horrible.
Shut up, goddamn horse.
I'm using a, no. You're absolutely right. I'm using a
so
horrible analogy in this situation.
So you said the N-word and colored people with a hard on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
To a black woman.
Yeah, it is a little bit of the South.
Yeah, my family's from Mississippi. That's the reason why we have horse and own land.
Yeah. How much land?
There's a little bit of
acres.
Difference of like having.
Wow. Is it a ranch or is it just land you guys got?
Like now we have, we did have.
Wait, is it 50 or 40?
It's not. Damn you. We hustled
Not a horse, a mule.
The one family that got that? No, they got a horse.
Upgraded. Yeah, we got 50 acres.
Is it just like.
So we have cows, like, and we have, like.
Oh, so it's like a full legit farm.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between black and white people. Like, their horse is for work. Like I have a horse for show that actually knows how to do fancy
stuff. Frank, no.
It's technically still working. It's on the clock.
No, actually, our horse does absolutely nothing. We just let him roam free and shit.
See,
look at me. Enforcing stereotypes.
I like it.
Yeah.
He's fucking lying over here.
Yeah,
being racist.
Right.
I can show you pictures of Frank. He's a shit. Right.
Frank's the name of the horse?
Yeah.
I
Frank?
Love it.
Yeah.
That's odd. I feel like all animals should not.
Yeah, it's weird when they have. I have a dog with a name. It's weird.
Or something.
That doesn't fit with a horse, though.
Okay, I don't own a horse. You do what you
do. He just dresses call like he rides one.
I don't know.
Sam, I love you've always done weird stuff. I remember I was at a show, it was one of Maggie's shows. I think it might have been at like a museum or something.
Oh, are you talking about the one downtown?
Well, you were closing show and you decided. You decided to end the show by standing the audience up and taking your cordless mic and going out to the street and did your last five on the street.
Yeah, that was fun. That was at some like school, I'm like South Michigan, I think was it. But yeah, I took everybody out there and then I just roasted everybody walking along the sidewalk.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
That's a win.
He had to convince the audience. He was like, guys, I'm not joking. Stand up. I'm leaving now. You can come
yeah,
with
it's like
me.
I'm leaving gonna... regardless.
What was the purpose of making the audience stand, though?
Huh?
Why did the audience have to stand? Oh, the audience
everybody
went with you.
They wouldn't have seen who he was roasting.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, they had to come along.
Yeah, you give me a wireless mic, I'll do weird shit. Because at Weeds, the open mic, one time, because they used to have a wireless mic there when mm-hmm. Jeff Steinbrenner was hosting.
Yeah.
And one night I was like, all right, I'm gonna do my jokes. And I just grabbed the mic and I walked outside, hopped in my car, and just took a lap.
I remember that.
And they could, everybody could hear me in the bar, and they just saw me outside taking laps around the bar, just like yelling into the microphone. Jokes.
NASCAR style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, how much time do I got? I couldn't hear anybody.
I own a car.
Like,
I kind of wish I just would have like been like, all right, that's my time.
With the microphone.
You could have done it. Would have shut down the whole mic. You would have tweeted about it.
Most mics need to be shut down, let's be honest.
At a certain point, like, what are we doing here at 3 a.m.?
After the fifth person, it's
So again, I'm happy to have you here because in the midst of our political elections, have run into a smear campaign against your good name. What is going on with that?
It's
that
on
monster
a,
Jeremy Daniels.
It's a Chicago suburban like scene Facebook page. Like I don't know how, like the acknowledgement of it is important, but it's
suburbs matter.
Suburbs do matter. That's where
the
I'm
new
from.
Hashtag for this episode.
Suburbs matter.
You can go get a lot of time there sometimes. I recommend it sometimes. It's not always as
dope.
You can get out there. Sometimes people pay you. It's good. But no.
That was a lot
Daniels,
of sometimes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's a heavy sometimes in the suburbs. No, Matt Drucky started some shit. Said that Jeremy Daniels should be voted the president of suburban comedy. And I stood up to him and said, I don't think he should run.
Fat Drucky.
I don't think he should run unopposed. Vote for Joe DeGan. That's all that happened. And then a lot of weird memes started. I've been laughing my dick off all day. People are posting weird memes with me on like weird things. I stand with DeGan and shit. It's made me laugh all day long. It's been very fun.
It's important for the suburbs to have a mayor of comedy, guys. Who's the mayor of Chicago comedy?
Danny Kaus.
Danny Kaus.
That is immediately. Yeah. So yeah, like.
What's Danny's
yeah.
In the door right now?
What's Danny's significant other? What's her name? His girlfriend. I hope that they're still together when this gets posted.
Well, I don't want to say.
I ain't touching shit.
I don't know.
Who knows now? Leave that one alone.
Yeah. All right. Should we leave it alone?
Well,
she's got a beautiful singing voice. That's the only reason
I
bring it up.
But now that you're making me feel like they're
weird.
Not together anymore.
Oh, yeah. No. I think they're together. I've said they're the Beyonce and Jay-Z. Because she's got an amazing voice, and everyone calls her the mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Did you improv that question?
No.
That's
you asked the question, and I just answered
lessons
it.
Lessons coming.
No, I've told him that before.
No, Danny Kaus is a badass. He's very funny. I've gotten to
everybody
see him headline several times. It's very fun.
Danny's one of the nicest people.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's real nice.
Didn't mean
real
to
cool.
Sure
real
does.
Nice.
That's good, though.
That
like, especially in the city, that's good.
Sam, you're about, 8-9 years in? Around about
9 years.
What has been your coolest experience where you're like, I can't believe this is my life? Either because the performance was amazing or, like, I really like people have told some stories about, like, meeting Chappelle and stuff. Like, one of those just unbelievable comic moments.
It wasn't because I was doing comedy. Is that okay? Fair
yeah.
Question?
Tense.
This last...
That's when I got saved.
Yeah. Jesus is real. I was just a fan of... I've never paid to see a show.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I'm oddly proud of because I don't want to pay to see my friends or coworkers. It's very odd to me. I would rather just give you money than... Be like, hey, let me get money for a ticket. I'll be like, let me just slide you $20 and then not have to go through this fucking ticketing office. So the only person I've ever paid to see is Eddie Izzard, and I've seen him 3 times. And he was my first and still, I call him my Old Testament. He's the first comic that I fell in love with. And
with those eyes.
Huh?
With those eyes.
With those legs.
Oh, those
go ahead.
Ruby red lips. So this Christmas, my mom is the one that got me into Eddie Izzard when I was younger.
Can I ask, so my family, I have a British background, and that's how I got introduced to Eddie Izzard. Is that like, hey, it's the cool, like, is there an English background to you where your mother just was, like, hip and got turned on to it?
Yeah, my mom's just a cool cat. She just, I was introduced to him back in, Glorious was the first one I watched, and we watched it when it first came out on HBO together. So I was like 10, maybe. So my mom was just like, cool. But this Christmas, she got me Eddie Izzard tickets again, and I flew down to Wichita to see it with her. And he had a meet and greet, and I actually got to meet him.
That's dope.
And,
yeah.
My sister got pictures and video, but I've met a lot of different celebrities. And I've never gotten nervous, but when I met him, I don't know, I felt like a 10-year-old, so
was he
that's one that I'm like...
Was he performing in his lady attire then?
No, he's full dude mode.
I think he's been doing that like since he was doing the TV show or whatever, the movies.
No, this one was... this last tour, it was...
What, there was one?
Well, there's Stripped, and then...
There's one about language, was like where he was doing a bunch of shit in different languages.
Well, that
was
like he went, so that's what he's doing now.
Yeah.
Now he's learning German, I think.
Yeah, he when he came to Chicago, I saw him here, and he just flew back from doing some like Normandy tribute show or something in Germany.
Cool.
Yeah, the dude's amazing. But yeah, this whole thing is kind of about.
He's doing one of those Holocaust denial shows. We all know what the truth is.
That'd be weird if he was as smart and brilliant, but he's just oddly a Holocaust denier.
Everybody's got that hate
Hitler,
blind
spot.
But
yeah, yeah.
Mel Gibson's his biggest fan. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, that's the one that sticks out most in my mind. And I met like Bill Burr. That was pretty cool. Kevin Nealon, but that was the one that I was just like, I couldn't contain myself. I almost met. So my Old Testament is Eddie Izzard. My New Testament is Patrice O'Neill, and then my Jesus is Colin Quinn.
Oh, shit.
You want to break down your Trinity to us?
That's the Trinity. It's
yeah.
Just then I'm how it is.
Holy Ghost.
But I almost met Colin Quinn, not this last time, because I go to New York about 2 times a year just to kind of keep up. And not this time, the last time, so back in October, November, I always set aside a day for myself, and I go to the cellar, and I eat, and then watch a show, and meet up with friends and stuff. That I was eating, and I would sit back by the famous comic table, and
mm-hmm.
Colin Quinn was. I made sure to go see Colin Quinn, but he was sitting at the table, and I was close. I was as close to him as I am to you,
yeah.
And I was just too nervous. To
sweats.
Like, yeah, I was like sitting there eating my food, and I overheard the whole conversation, and it. I was just. I wanted to like lean over and be like, "I'm a Raiders fan." I love you. Okay. But I just. Out,
well,
I was sitting there by
what's cool now is that if you go to New York these days, some of our friends are at that table. So.
Yeah, yeah. Lisa's in. Drew's
there.
In. I saw Drew last time I was out. I was gonna go see him at the cellar, but I ended up getting a show. Sorry. Well, I don't know if Drew's gonna listen to this.
You don't need to apologize for getting a show. That counts.
But yeah, I got with Drew and Lebo at one of the shows. So.
Oh, Lebo! I miss Lebo.
Yeah.
Lebo's cool.
Very
John,
funny,
speaking
dude.
Speaking of celebrities, what was it like meeting Sam for the first time?
So, Sam for the first time. Sam probably doesn't remember this.
I was breaking in my horse.
Yeah.
I said on this waitress.
Yeah, Sam's kind of like, oh shit, what did I say? I think we were at it was a mic. I forget what he said. Sam's a jokester, and I think Sam's love language is ribbing you a little bit, and so Sam gave me some shit the first time.
Wait, is there
yeah.
a comedy?
Yeah.
Is there a comedy? The four love languages, like
yeah,
lawmaker. There's
a person who's like, oh, you run a show, let me suck up to you.
Faison.
Oh, damn!
Shots fired.
All right.
Pew pew. Right.
Nah, yeah, that was sort of my first run in with Sam, but Sam's good.
What did
people.
I say?
Honestly, I don't remember because like. Yeah, I've gotten it from other comics, and I don't let that bother me. I'm just like, I'm a dude. I put my pants on one leg at a time, so, you know.
You're a dude?
You want to see my dick? I'll pull it out right now.
That's unnecessary. Okay.
There's a lady in the room.
Yeah, come on. Giles.
That's
like, I'm going to pass up seeing Giles real
quick. This is the Laugh Factory podcast. You save that shit for the Zanies podcast, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Because, yeah, it's a podcast. People can see stuff.
I like it. It's fun.
It is.
It's funny that
yeah.
you, so you said that, like, there's this thing, like, with people that you're close to that you like, there's this thing where, like, oh, yeah, I like this person, I'll give this person some shit, and I think, like, in comedy, you can give, that person can take it and give it back, to some degree.
Oh, sorry.
To some degree.
Gabby took the mic off of the stand. She's ready.
She's
joining in
well,
on this conversation.
But I also will say, like, everyone's not built the same way, and I've actually learned that. Like, there's
yeah,
people
yeah.
who, like, I consider my friends in comedy that I have to learn to kind
some
of scale back.
Like fuckboys.
Yeah, because, like, I'll start kind of giving it to one of my friends, or, like, yeah, you can't follow me, dude. And I'll see them kind of tighten up a little bit. And I'm like, dude, I'm just. This is how I show that I care a little bit. So.
That's why I do that with people. Like, when I meet someone, like yourself, and I figure out, like, I think he's good people, then I rip you right away. If you can't take that, then it's like, all right, well, then I know I can't fuck with you.
It's a litmus test, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Like,
well, I don't know if it's a litmus test, but
yeah,
I think...
A little bit.
For me, 'cause I know I'm not saying for everything.
Yeah.
I just know what I do. I can't have a friendship unless.
Okay.
I can't each other's take balls. Compliments.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, I think that. And not only that, if you're trying to do it, shouldn't you be thick-skinned enough to...
Nah, there's some people that...
They are.
I mean,
should
he's
have
right. There are some people that... But it's not about who I can... I can hang with anybody.
Sure.
I like...
Yeah.
But I'm talking about who I can be friends with.
Right.
And if you can't take me shitting on you, then... I mean, that's how... That's just how... I grew up in a big Irish family, so, like, that's how we... We don't go like, "Hey, I love you." We go, "Nice,
yeah,
fucking."
Oh no, that's exactly how I exist.
Yeah, you grew up around a bunch of your mama jokes. You just learn to like either you give it back or you learn to like.
And especially if you're a nerd, you got to get real clever, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good show. You guys grew up on.
Grew up on some Wilder. What's his name? Wilmer Vilderrama.
Yeah.
I love
him.
Fez.
Yo, mom, we're talking about a fucking MTV insult show right now.
Oh, it's on MTV Tune-In.
Oh, well, that means it's even less important.
I feel like MTV, speaking of appropriation,
what does that mean? I don't go to college, so I don't know communication words. Let's get back to talking about farms and horses.
I knew that college degree was going to come in handy for this
podcast. Well, KB and Joe, you guys had a lot to say about the subject in the car. If you're interested in rehashing
your
questions.
We did. We were talking about this exactly on the way over here.
What?
Having thick skin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The bust balls with people.
Yeah. I'll sometimes say shit. I don't really give a shit about what I'm saying. And I'll say it to that person's face just to fuck with them. And then they, like, get all upset. And then they'll contact, like, other people. And be like, "Oh, does she not like me?" or whatever. And I'm like... You could have just asked me. Like, I wouldn't have wasted my breath making fun of you if I didn't like you.
Well, you're fucked because you're a woman. It's harder for a woman to rib than it is to do.
That's sexist, ain't it, dude?
Yeah, but that's
the truth, because you'll probably get bitch more than I'll get. Well, Sam's a dick. It'll probably just be like, that's how Sam is, where people be like, she's being a bitch. I've seen it all the time. It's not fair.
Especially
like
noobs.
You know,
noobs do that right away.
Yeah. Well, and
we're all noobs.
Yeah.
None of us are good.
Same.
Well, I would willingly accept bitch. Like, I don't give a shit about it. Like, I don't know.
No, but I'm saying that when you were like, yeah, some people just can't take it, even though.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't think they can take it, mainly because. Not mainly, but a big part of it.
It's because,
yeah. Whereas if I said that shit, I would assume
nobody
that more people would be able to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Say something about her bleeding or some shit. Fucking asshole. Stupid.
You bleed?
Ew, blood. Yeah, no, like, but if you have, especially when we're talking about our friends, mm-hmm. like how we hang out, especially with somebody that you ride with or die with, or just show up to mics on a regular basis, showcases, you do them all the time with that person. Like, if you're not busting balls, like, at least a little bit, how am I going to tell you that bit that you're doing, you need to stop doing that? How am I going to tell you that tagline, you need to get rid of it because it's just choking up that bit? Like, you, if we're sharing notes, because that's what sometimes, if you get really close
you
with
have
somebody,
to give it to them in a compliment sandwich. I really liked your opener. Your closer is pretty good, but that middle bit,
that was garbage.
Terrible.
Yeah, like that's what I want from my peers. That's what I want from the people that I respect. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing stuff, like, I want to be able to give you that feedback right back. And if you can't even take a joke, I'm not gonna give you a note.
There's been people.
Did you mean to say joke and note together?
No.
Okay.
But I get where your head was at. It is Wednesday.
Who I feel like I've been too familiar with that, like, oh, I like this person, they're cool people, and I've gone up to them and was like, yo, I really think you should stop doing that joke. Because, for whatever reason, and sometimes that's not my place to say. So I think even though, like, there is this thing, like, there's almost a fraternity in comedy, a lot of times it's hard to sort of gauge, like, well, how cool can I be with that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have egos. People grew up differently. You never know who got picked on when they were little. So it's weird.
Yeah, but at the
so
end of the
weird.
Day,
so
like, beyond
out.
That, the audience doesn't give a fuck about any of that, really. Like, if you're trying to get better to perform, to be a comedian, and just enjoy performing and to be funny, you do have to have some type of a acknowledgement of either like the audience response after frequent trial and error or whatever, but
what does that have to do with like giving someone shit though?
Well, the whole thing, what I'm trying to say about it is that giving them shit about it is not necessarily always going to change their perspective. And sometimes I feel awkward giving them like shit about it or trying to give notes because I'm like, who the fuck am I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, or maybe that they're still trying to work it out and they keep doing it so they could try to figure it out.
Well, I think there's a difference between busting balls with your buddy and then giving someone sort of like, give them a hard time. And meant to be friendly. There's just two different things, though.
I'm already separated from you guys.
The important thing that we all agree on is that Jeremy Daniels is the biggest vagina in comedy.
How dare you bring that up again?
See, I'm okay with like busting someone's balls, like personally, but busting someone's balls about their act, I only do that one on one with like people like.
Yeah,
like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, if I made fun of your fucking hat or something like that, I'll
Yeah.
Who wants to tell people?
I love it when they call it a fedora.
Nobody wants to do it. Nobody's like, man, I can't wait to tell that guy. He's fucking awful.
But that's
a lot of people. Their jokes stink, but you have to earn the respect enough to do it, or you have to figure out some political way of being like, hey, yo, like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I use the let's break bread by making fun of each other a little bit as a litmus test to whether or not it's even worth giving a person a note.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's my way in. Like, if you can handle this, like, we could just, you know, banter back and forth. You make fun of my hat, I make fun of my shoes, I make fun of your fucking shirt that you're wearing. Why are you wearing that? Like,
fine. I made a mistake with someone who I thought I was friends with. And they were expressing something, and I said in a joking way, maybe you should quit. And they took that. I'm not friends with that person right now. Like, so
took it to a whole nother level.
Took it to a whole nother level. And I, you know, I was sort of joking, but I was trying to make a point, not trying to get into all that. But like you said, Sam, like that's, you got to earn that respect before you can.
Sam once hated a guy's ex so much he invited him to his wedding. He's like, we have to become really close because I've got a lot of notes for you.
That's not out of the realm of shit that I've done. So that's why I was like, did I actually do that?
Ian was confessing to being invited to your wedding right there. Right. Is what that was.
I was like, nobody was invited to my wedding. We snuck off.
That's smart.
Fucked off, yeah.
Smart. It's cool. I did the whole Canada, Catholic thing.
Yeah.
What part?
Calgary.
Nice. I've been to Calgary. It's cool. It's like Stampede rodeo town.
Yeah.
It's clean as hell.
Yeah.
You can count the cigarette butts on the street with your hand.
That's weird. That's like the thing you got excited about.
I did a tattoo show there once. It was awesome.
And it's not that clean.
It is.
It's very clean. Yeah.
You
it's
have
like,
no idea.
I
have
a friend who lives there.
It's like Seattle and Texas all rolled into one thing.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a cleaner cap. Go ahead.
Nope. I just wanted to put the mic by my lips. And it wasn't had nothing to do with it.
We were prepping because we saw you moving up.
Nope.
Just that paranoia.
What's the difference between roasting and bullying?
I'm doing that right now on the internet. I'm not a roaster. I don't even like doing that to people. Well, I think it's silliness.
Well, I think roasting the person
isn't fun. Yeah.
Ugh. You like deep cutting people is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just getting permission to... Like knock someone's...
Like you did Dave's roast.
Bullying is when there's no love behind it.
Yeah.
Bullying is when there's no love behind it. Where you're not doing it because you like the person, you're doing it...
Out of malice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
like
it's intent. Yeah.
All right,
well...
Point onward and upward.
Which I heard you killed at that. Evidently, Sam owned the roast.
It went alright.
Who was okay, so it? You can be more than it went alright.
Yeah, it went alright.
I love the verification of a kill set. Like there's a standard that has to be set. Like listen, like at least two of my peers that have been in the game for at least 5 years need to verify it. I need to get 3 compliments outside the
club. That's so true. Yeah.
Killed, like, yeah. If somebody else is saying that you killed or you did, just, well, just handle it.
I wasn't
exactly.
There. I heard.
I cannot hand compliments that. Yeah. First off.
Okay. I can't either.
And I'm Irish.
Verify that Sam killed the roast. So.
Two, it wasn't all my doing. Kevin White and Mikey Maker sat down and wrote shit.
I think that's cool that you're like, no, wait, it's not like that. Cause that's how Joe was. We did a show at the Whip and I hit him up and I was like, man, you killed it last night, man. And he was like, I watched the video. I wanted to say it, but I felt weird thinking that I did that well. And I'm like, what is this?
Cause I need, like I said, I need verification. I don't trust myself to say that about myself ever. If I hear it on the grapevine, it's even more suspect because then it's like I just don't know.
Well, I've also seen real. So who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody about this the other day about I think it was my friend Vince about how early in my career, like one of my first hosting gigs, I was working with a headliner named Joe Coy, and. I saw he. So we were at the Improv, and he did 6 shows. 5 of them, he got standing ovations, and 3 of them, every single person was standing. Ooh. So I've seen not just hit. But that was like the first one. Then I've seen other people do fucking real killer sets. Like I've seen what killing is,
yeah.
And I may have reached that. Once.
See, that's why.
And I don't. Sure. Yeah, I don't do it like, oh, I killed for that room or that night, or I even killed for myself. I. This sounds pretentious as fuck, but I compare myself to people farther along in the game because that's where I want to be. I want.
Yeah, that's how you get better.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, no.
I heard you suck, son.
Thanks, man.
He's not comparing himself to the mayor of suburban comedy because he doesn't want to be that. He doesn't want that position.
And I hate your
president.
Hat.
President.
First off, nobody hates his
hat. I adore that hat. I've been peeping it.
And I keep it cocked to the right.
I'm just wondering if there's like.
Swag.
I just want to know if there's a razor blade sewn in there somewhere. Like it's a true Peaky Blinder. I want that. That's what I want.
Thought about it.
So you mentioned like Patrice and Colin. What is it about their material that spoke to you as an artist or a creator?
Well, I just released my own podcast.
What?
So real quick, I'll go into it. So Eddie Izzard taught me that you can talk about anything, no matter how fucking weird it is, as long as you're interested in it. Patrice O'Neill taught me how to find your voice from your own life experiences, and more than that, your own life philosophies. Pure observational comedy is dying in my head artistically, whereas if you observe something, then filter it through your own, like, this is how I look at the world about either race or something, it gives it a little bit more texture. I don't think anybody did it better than him. And then Patrice, or Colin Quinn, I think, combines both of those. He talks about fucking weird shit like American history and then somehow relates that into his life philosophy about race or whatever. So
I feel like he reads the most out of, besides Eddie. Because Patrice...
Well, Eddie is dyslexic. I don't know if he can really read.
He probably does audiobooks.
Yeah, that's
something.
Right.
Right?
I have the same problem.
No. I'm just lazy.
I'm both, I think.
Yeah. Ready Player One, check that out.
Well, Sam, what can you tell us about your own personal philosophy?
Come on, man.
Of dick jokes.
Grilling them. Grilling them with the good ones.
Tell me what the definition of is. What do you think? All your questions have ellipses, so you gotta put a question mark at the end of it.
Is.
All right, so talking about, you admire comics that push things through their own filter, or their own world philosophy.
Yes.
Is there a philosophical idea that drives you as a person that a lot of things get run through?
Like an overarching philosophy?
Like whether you were a Christian or you're like, you know, these 3 moral codes or whatever.
I don't think I have one universal thing. It just depends on certain. I mean, I know that's not what you want to hear, but ex, that's that's the honest answer. There's nothing if I see I almost saw a fight on the train. If I see a fight on the train, it's not I'm going. What did growing up in Wichita? How did that affect it? So there's nothing like that. Now, if you have like a specific thing on like a topic or something, I can maybe get into it. But I don't know. Do you know how to answer? Do you have anything like that? Do you have a fucking secret in your?
I mean, I don't have a. there's no secret sauce. Being still fairly new at it, I think my approach is I want to talk about the things that talk about my life. People don't care about my life, but I think I want to talk about things that other people relate to. So there's a lot of people who are good at doing the political stuff. I'm as dumb as they come. I don't read a lot, so I don't pretend to know things. Like sometimes there's comics who are extremely smart, and when they start talking, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Can you do this?
I don't even do that. I just sort of like, I can't understand what he's talking about.
You slowly see him slink back.
Yeah, so when
are
it comes...
Are you calling out Adverk right now?
I'm not calling out anybody. and these people are funny, like, audience like, but I don't try to do that. I try to just connect with people. I talk a lot about my family. I talk a lot about how I'm a fuck up when it comes to relationships. And I think people can connect with that. And I think Patton Oswalt, who said there's always like this sort of self-discovery of being sort of vulnerable on stage. That's what I try to do is like, I never try to like point a finger at, even when I'm talking about a dumb Tinder date or something like that, like what was wrong with me? Kind of, I try to explore that and try to find it because, I don't want to make anyone else necessarily the victim. So
make yourself the victim. It's way better.
KB was talking about this on the last podcast, and it's really interesting to me. Did you ever quit or take a break? And if so, why? And why come back?
I'm actually going to China in May for 3 weeks, and that'll be the most amount of time the most amount of time I've gone without being on stage is 8 days, and I'm fucking terrified.
It gets itchy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go fucking crazy. Because even if I wanted to do a mic, I don't know if I could.
Yeah,
just walk into a mic in China.
Or China, you're gonna be in, but there's got to be like places there where you could.
It's gonna be an opium den somewhere.
There's American.
You're finally
businessmen over there.
I told Tanya, my wife, I wouldn't.
But the businessmen are with the Chinese hookers, so.
What?
I was just saying the businessmen are with the Chinese hookers, so that's...
Finally be able to pick on someone your own size.
Boom, roasted.
What was the intent?
You mean my wife? Because I'd be her all the time.
Was that love? Because that might have been
boring. There was some love. Right. Felt like it.
Ian can't believe me. Come on. I got a pea coat on. He's got a hoodie.
Like a pepper jam. You are looking quite dapper over there.
I'm a dapper dandy.
This is what a feature dress is like.
Okay. Hey, I headline too. Just...
Did you ever take a break from comedy?
I took some time to do Second City, but I still did stand up. It was just a lot less. So it was like, I think my longest was probably three weeks.
Sexuality at the time?
No, it was just a lot harder to get to mics, especially I was doing the writing program there. So I was actually focusing on doing that aspect specifically. So when you're writing sketch, you can do stand-up and write stand-up at the same time. But I feel like I was taking a lot of the best of what I was not doing in sketch and putting it into my stand-up just to make sure that that was still staying fresh. I haven't taken a lot of time off. 5 years, and I'm okay with the fact that the longest has probably been 3-4 weeks. 4 weeks is probably my max that I did during only that time. Ever since then, never again. But
Sam, if you were going to speak to yourself as a young comic, probe with one question, what would that question be? And then will you please ask it to John?
You give him the most Socrates-style questions ever.
Say
that question one more time, and then...
So if you were going to ask yourself a question when you were starting out that you think might have turned your head around and got you moving in the right direction, what would it have been?
Oh.
What's something you wish you'd known when you were
All right. Have a conversation without me. I'm going to really think about this.
So what would what kind of advice are you looking for? Like, what do you want to hear?
What kind of questions do you have, I guess?
What kind of questions
this guy has? Yeah, so for anything. No, that's not what... But I have those questions, like,
sure.
Especially when you're trying to figure out what we were talking about earlier, like the hustle, like yeah. being able to have a good clip that you send out on a regular basis, getting to know, like, is there a booker that I need to contact to get a hold of that show? How much time do I need to do in front of that person, like, decently? Do they actually pay you? Stuff like that. Yeah. Like, those are the questions I have right now where I am.
How do I not come across as a Jeremy Daniels?
I'll joke again.
I don't know if I have any specific questions about how to be good at comedy.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, how to be good at comedy.
Well, the question I have for it's you like, is, like, you said that there's, you mentioned, like, cliques or a fraternity. How would you describe the Chicago comedy scene? Like, you know, throwing people's names out there and crazy crap. But.
Okay, yeah, no.
Unless you're just down to burn some bridges.
No, I don't care. I really don't care. No, I mean, not growing up here, being a little bit of an outsider, I'll say, like, My first year in, like, you're very aware that there's other people have said it. It's like high school. Chicago's a very blue collar sort of mentality. People want to see that you're willing to work. You're willing to put in the time and the effort. And it takes a little bit of time. And you can be funny up top, but people are more interested to see. I think that you're willing to put in the effort. And you're not just looking for, like, you're not a one-hit wonder kind of thing. That was my impression, at least. And then you kind of earn the respect. That doesn't necessarily mean people are going to give you stuff. But as far as the scene goes, I don't necessarily consider... I know people. There's people here I like. Like Joe, we've done shows before. Ian, this is my first time meeting you, but, you know, I've seen everybody out. I don't necessarily consider myself... the part of the Chicago scene. Like, I actually would say, like, I don't never want to be, like, Jonathan is the Chicago scene. Like,
I don't want that pressure.
Want that pressure. I mean, I want to be able to be here and be cool with the people I need to be cool with and do what I need to do. Like, I want to come to work. I want to clock in and clock out. Like, that's, I mean, I know there's individuals who, like, this is their life. And if they don't get them up at a mic, then it really bothers them. And that's, you know, there's a lot of other kind of things going on there.
You do need to kind of have a life outside of comedy in some regards.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Sam?
For material-wise, yeah. Business-wise, I don't know if that's necessarily...
smart.
All right, so you have found the question.
Yeah. What... if you pick one word of emotion or whatever, what motivates you in comedy?
Sure.
And on top of that, like, once you really hammer that down, what one word is your goal?
One word.
I don't have a tab downstairs, no.
Okay.
I
just got out of this question. Joe, I'm going to squeeze around you. If all three of you could answer, and then we'll close it out. Oh, my name's Ian Ellis. You can find me at Chicago Open Mic. Please get all your Twitter.
All the bottles.
Man down.
How do I always do that?
All right.
Because you're awesome.
So that in one word, motivation?
Yeah, I'll tell you mine. Kind
okay, of go for it.
Make it. So the thing that motivates me every night is I'm competitive as shit. So it's just being competitive.
Yeah.
Right? But the end goal is I want respect. Like, if I get... the money would be nice. The fame would be nice. All the other shit that comes with it. But respect is... respect is, I think, where the happiness lies for me. So, do you know what the answer is on both of those? And
sure.
Two, would you be fine with just having that one word? So,
So being put on the spot, I don't know if I can boil it down to one word, but I think I know what it is. What motivates me is, well, one word, greatness. want to be great. I want to know. I want to be able to. I want to be able to know when I walk off stage. So we're talking about that, the idea of like when someone says you had a good set, and there's not like a fake humility. You're like, I did do a good job, but it's because I put in the work for it.
Right.
But I think what motivates me is I want to inspire people. I really do. I want people when they come to see me, and this is not where I'm at right now, but I want people to be able to walk away with a feeling of like, I can go do something with my life. And it's not like they can go do comedy. They just, I had a good time at this show. I want to go do something. And that's my one word.
You inspire me. To tell you to quit doing comedy.
Yeah. Touche. That was from my little throwback earlier, huh?
Throwback.
What is
it?
Do
you want to answer first?
What?
I believe the question was one word.
One word that keeps you going out every night and doing this, and then one word of what your end goal is.
All right. That's difficult. I would go with my motivation. It would probably be, damn, that's hard.
I feel like we need acid or mushrooms.
Yeah, and then, I kind of thought I was good when I came in, but obviously I needed a little bit more. Yeah. Excellence. I'm a like straight up overachiever, and I don't want to suck. Like, I hate the idea of half-assing. I hate the idea of like, cause like I teach during the day, and I'll go out and do mics or shows at night, and I don't get home until like 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning, and I gotta be up at 4, and like then I hear people like bitch and complain about it, and I'm like, no, you don't even understand. Like.
I hear that.
And,
you got two jobs plus comedy as well.
And so it's just, striving for excellence, like just being the funniest I can possibly be.
So what's the end goal? What do you think would, not that you definitely know what would make you happy, but what's the end goal that you think would make you happy?
What's the end goal? Oh, damn it.
Close down the club.
Once again, what would make me happy?
Your end goal.
End goal?
End goal.
My end goal is basically, it's not going to be one word, but to be able to create shit and just be a stand-up comic purely.
Creative?
Yeah. And like be able to create some cool, funny stuff with funny people that I like hanging out with. I think that'd be really cool to be able to do that. And to just work as a comic, make a living
you're
as a comic.
There. You're gonna get there faster than me, I guarantee it.
Oh, no. Nah.
Let's see here. So my motivation, the key for me, it's really easy. It's because I have a kid, so that's automatic. The reason why I got off my ass in the first place was I had a kid. I realized I was working a dead end job that was gonna make me probably just pay my bills for the rest of my life. And then I go, well, you know what? I have always wanted to do this thing. I write all the time for other shit. I might as well write something that actually makes me look funny. So I wrote for the first couple of years, like only with that in mind of like just being an example at some point in your life, even if you think you've made a decision, you can change that decision and make yourself into something completely different. Same thing you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting out of that corporate race. Mine was just retail shit. So it's, like, still horrible. Yeah. But I want my kid to know that you can chase something while still holding down a job if you need to pay for a child.
That's what I'm trying to show to my students. Absolutely.
You can do that. You can, and, you know, I have a wife to support, too, but not to the point where she makes more money than me. So it's fine. It is. It's very good. It definitely makes it so that I can leave and go out on a trip every once in a while. But as far as my end goal, very similar to yours. Like, I just want to be able to, like, say that I can do this for money while doing it for money and then having people recognize me as a person that is able to be funny for money. Like, if you want to pay me, that's cool, but I'm still going to do this anyway. That's fine. I will be there. And that's just because I have stuff I got to get out. And that's what we do. We get stuff out. And sometimes, eventually, we get to the point where we get to get paid to tell people about stuff.
Mark Maron said a thing where he said, like, when I was younger, I just wanted to be reckoned with. I didn't even want to be funny. A lot of times I feel that way where it's like, I feel like I'm just shouting into nothing and I just want to be reckoned with or heard or acknowledged as whatever. The end goal, I want to live off my creativity. So,
yep.
Where can everybody find you? Websites, Twitter?
It's all Iceham Comedy. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
The movie.
The movie. website, all of that. Got a online comic that's bi-weekly, and then I got a podcast.
Just started
that's,
it.
Yep. Those are the things that I was saying that I put off forever, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it now. And then I got a weekly podcast that's all on my website, and then there's going to be more stuff, because I don't work enough, so.
J. Giles Comedy, so that's J-G-I-L-E-S Comedy. That's the website, so that's .com, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. SoundCloud.
Kimberly Marion, you can find me on Facebook. And then on Twitter, you can find me at Why So Funny, the letter Y, S-O-F-U-N-N-Y, one, on Twitter and on Instagram.
She has another podcast called The
Happy Corner.
Yes, she needs to keep talking about it, even though she forgot.
Shut up, man.
I caught you. I busted. It's an awesome podcast.
Yeah, check out The Happy Corner with Amy Blaze.
They do a video portion of it too that I listen to it while I'm at work sometimes. My name is Joe DeGand. You can find me on Twitter at Who Is Joe DeGand. It's D-E-G-A-N-D. Jeremy Daniels is a smarmy smear campaign running punk, but I'm going to do it.
Shit.
It's cool. Don't worry about it. You can find me on Facebook. I'm working on a website.
He's a monster. He needs to be stopped.
I'm working on a website because I know that's where I need to be at. Moving up, you have to do that, right? Like, you guys are smart. I like
follow Laugh Factory at Laugh Factory _CH. Come check out the Beef Show. It's amazing. Check out all the shows. Check out the Cates. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.